If the Costume Fits, written by Sen Suits and read by Kitana. The clock on the wall sounds like a heartbeat. The second hand pulls back and lurches forward, steady and measured and maddening. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's loud and irritating, but honestly, anything is better than listening to the Monster Mash for the millionth time tonight. No one has set foot in this temporarily occupied warehouse for over an hour, and Anakin is beyond ready to get the fuck out of here. The closing checklist is almost complete. The changing rooms have been cleaned of unwanted costumes, each cheap plastic garment put back into its package and out on display. The register has been counted, the floors have been swiffered, the door has been locked. All he has to do is shut down the animatronics, turn off the lights, and— Jesus fucking Christ! Anakin barks when a knock at the door nearly startles him out of his skin, clutching his chest to feel the frantic 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 of his own heart, fast outpacing the clock's suddenly sluggish tempo. It takes a moment to catch his breath, his pulse still thundering in his ears when he looks up to find a man wearing a dark suit and an apologetic expression. Normally, Anakin would just ignore the guy, maybe shout, "We're closed!" and point at his watchless wrist before rolling his eyes and returning to his end-of-night checklist. But when the man raises his hand to give an almost adorably embarrassed wave, Anakin finds himself unlocking the door before he can think twice. "I'm terribly sorry," the stranger says before the door is even open, rushed and painfully polite. "I didn't mean to frighten you." He sounds like he stepped out of some critically acclaimed period drama about dukes and duchesses, and while he's not wearing coattails or a top hat, he definitely looks like he could be a lord or something. "It's fine," Anakin chuckles, a strange nervous tickle in the back of his throat as he breathes in the cold night air, shifting his weight slightly, and trying to remember why exactly he opened the door in the first place. "Look, man, I'm really sorry, but we're—" "You're closed," the man says before he can finish, nodding his head in acknowledgement, standing up straighter like he thinks he can match Anakin's height. "I realized that, and I apologize, but I was hoping that you could—" "Sorry, dude," Anakin interrupts, shaking his head and finding himself strangely reluctant when the man frowns. "Already shut down the registers, couldn't sell you anything even if I wanted to." His eyes drop in disappointment, lips in a thin line. But when his brows raise, head tilted to one side, Anakin lets out a low sigh, realizing this man isn't ready to give up. "Kosh?" And if that doesn't pique Anakin's interest, "I have," the man murmurs absently, pulling out a sleek leather wallet to leaf through the contents, and Anakin can't help the way he perks up when he sees at least 1, 2, 3 bills with 3 digits in the corner.
$4,501.
Anakin needs to swallow a laugh, because who the fuck carries around that much cash? "Anything not spent on the costume is yours." Then he nearly chokes. Honestly, that's not even a month's rent, but to Anakin Skywalker, $500 is a lot of money. It's a trip home to visit Mom. It's a nice birthday gift for Ahsoka. It's breathing room. It's one hell of a negotiation tactic.
"That desperate, huh?" Anakin asks coolly, somehow managing to sound something close to nonchalant, despite the opportunity staring him in the face.
"You have no idea," the stranger hums, leaning forward just enough that Anakin can see the way his smile wrinkles his eyes at the edges. "You're my only hope." Anakin shivers.
$500, he confirms, swallowing back the strange feeling still racing down his spine.
501, the man grins, holding up his index finger like a single dollar makes all the difference in the world, his eyes uncommonly kind and shining like sterling in the moonlight. He should say no. Anakin knows that.
"All right,"
he breathes, after a long moment, his heart skipping a nervous beat as he holds the door open.
"Come on in."
It feels like nature exhales along with the stranger, a cool autumn breeze kicking up a clatter of leaves around the man's polished boots as he breathes. "Thank you," with a deep and honest sigh of relief, The very air around them seeming to relax as he steps forward and across the threshold. You're an angel. That makes Anakin laugh.
I'm a broke grad student, he corrects, locking the door behind them, uninterested in any more delays to the end of his shift, trying to focus on the cash that will be in his pocket in 20 minutes and not on how badly he'd rather be home by now. You found my weakness.
A warm, considering hum sounds behind him, and when Anakin turns, it feels as though he's looking at a completely different man. The stranger on the other side of the door, lit only by the moon and the dim flickering lamps of the parking lot, had appeared to Anakin in grayscale. Like he'd been standing just across some unmarked border in Kansas, and the beauty of Oz somehow exists inside a spirit Halloween. Now he appears as if through rose-colored glasses. The suit is not black, but a deep blood-red burgundy, his hair like hellfire and cheeks dusted with rusty freckles. Some things are the same. His smile is still white. His eyes are still silver. So are some of the short hairs at his temples and the hinge of his jaw. Everything about the stranger is perfectly put together, touched up and tailored and screaming of the kind of wealth that has absolutely no business in a tacky Halloween warehouse. "Unto whom do I owe my unending gratitude?" the man asks, his voice low, an eye shining, one hand in the front pocket of his too tight trousers, his slanted smile growing wider as he raises $501 in the other. "Onto my money." Anakin finds himself swaying shamefully forward as if a small stack of cash is enough to shift his entire gravity. "Huh?" he huffs dumbly. When he reaches out, only for the man to pull his hand back, his prize just out of reach. "Your name, darling," the man purrs, so soft it feels as if he hasn't spoken the words at all. "What is your name?" Something inside Anakin recoils at that. Not at the endearment or the far too intimate distance between their bodies, but at the suggestion that this complete stranger doesn't already know everything about him. Then he shakes his head.
"Right, sorry," he chuckles, far too nervously for his liking, trying to concentrate on the steady 1-2-1-2 of that godforsaken clock over the strange, uneven rhythm of his own pulse. "Anakin, my name is Anakin."
When the man smiles, it feels like both the clock and his heart have come to a stop. "Anakin," the way the stranger says his name, it sounds like a different language. Too many letters. Too many syllables. The emphasis right and wrong all at the same time. No one has ever said his name that way. "Thank you, Anakin," he smiles. The name softer and shorter, but just as indulgent in his mouth, extending the hand not currently holding a wad of cash in familiar greeting. "You can call me Obi-Wan."
"Obi-Wan,"
Anakin repeats as he reaches out to take the man's hands. His name foreign and familiar in equal measure. 501 questions just on the tip of his tongue. "Family name," the stranger, Obi-Wan, replies vaguely, holding his eyes he surrounds Anakin's hand with both of his, slipping the stack of bills into his palm without a single hesitation, and it's impossible not to wonder how many figures make up the man's bank balance. "Old world."
"Well, Obi-Wan,"
Anakin hums when the man's grip slips from his, finding it impossible not to say the strange name again, clearing his throat before motioning vaguely at the racks and racks of hanging plastic bags, and tucking the cash in his back pocket without feeling the need to count it.
"Do you have a costume in mind?"
A considering hum vibrates in Obi-Wan's chest as his gaze tracks around the open space, flickering from wall to wall, then back to meet Anakin's eyes. "Admittedly, I hadn't given it much thought," he confesses, looking only mildly apologetic, before a smirk curls the corner of his lips. "You're the expert," he says, taking a few steps back and posing with one hand on his hip, the other gesturing down the length of his body. "What do you think?"
"An expert, huh?" Anakin chuckles, rolling his eyes as the man does a tight turn, his smile wide when they face each other once again. "I don't know if I quite qualify."
"I have faith in you." The words sound sincere even as they slip through his slanted smirk, and something about this strange man makes Anakin want to play along.
All right, fine, he huffs, the offense in his voice ringing false when he can't quite hide his amused smile. Clearing his throat like he's getting into character, Anakin folds his arms over his chest, weight shifting to his back foot, squinting his eyes and humming consideringly like some snobby art critic assessing an abstract masterpiece as he gives the man a long exaggerated once-over. Obi-Wan is older, not old, but definitely older than Anakin. Threads of silver sprouting at his temples and in the short stubble along his jaw, thin creases of time at the corner of his eyes. It's not difficult to look good in a perfectly tailored suit, but Anakin thinks the man probably does pretty well with the ladies regardless of what he's wearing. Anakin's got at least 20 pounds and a few inches on the guy, but he's got broad shoulders and it looks like he probably works out, if only by the way he carries himself. I'm thinking something classic, Anakin says when he remembers the point of this charade, tilting his head toward the back of the store, away from the supersuits and pop culture costumes and towards what Anakin thinks are the better suited options. Something about the man just feels timeless. Even as he appears here in Technicolor, Anakin can see him in brushstrokes and sepia tones. I'd prefer not to wear a mask, Obi-Wan mentions through his teeth, nodding to the long wall of rubber faces and wigs that line the back of the warehouse, hesitating barely a moment before he falls in line with his slow backward steps. Anakin hadn't even considered a mask, though thinking of it now, the stranger could probably pull off the whole Zorro look. No, he can't see this man obscuring his face unless he has to. A helmet, maybe. Like a knight. Not that they have a suit of armor here. Not that kind of classic, Anakin clarifies, waving a dismissive hand at the wall of horrifying heads and turning to a nearby rack. I'm thinking more like... It's more difficult than it should be to pull his eyes away from the man to focus on the task at hand, scanning over the various options looking for something to match the vague image flickering in the back of his mind, coming up empty with every option. Ninja? No. Zombie? No. Werewolf? No. Oh wait, that could work. An old-timey gangster? It doesn't feel exactly right, not that he's sure what that means, but as he grabs an inflatable Tommy gun and a fedora so cheap the material crunches audibly in his hands, and turns to present them to the man, Anakin could practically see it. A century in the past, leaning up against the solid wood bar in some swanky speakeasy, exactly as he is now and somehow entirely different. His hair parted and slicked back, the lapels on his wool suit wide and peaked, his beard waxed and styled. His smile is still white. His eyes are still silver. Obi-Wan quirks an interested eyebrow. There was a certain style about that era, he concedes, reaching out to graze along the hat's brim, frowning slightly at the feeling of felted fabric beneath his fingers. However, he hums, turning his attention to the inflatable firearm with a barely guilty grimace. I've never been much for guns. Anakin scoffs, rolling his eyes in a comically dramatic arc as he returns the items to their designated shelves, his annoyance both feigned and frank, finding the man just as intriguing as he is irritating. Well, forgive me, Mr. Moral High Ground, he drawls, his tone more sardonic than sorry, certain that every 1-2, 1-2 that tam clock sounds past the end of his shift should be bringing his blood closer to boiling, but something in the man's shameless smirk makes him want to push, no matter how far back it pushes closing time. I know we have a priest costume here somewhere. For a brief moment, Anakin can almost picture that, too. Obi-Wan draped in ornate robes, strange and sacred, poised and powerful as he preaches words Anakin can't hear to an audience he cannot see. But as quickly as the image appears, it shatters with a single, startling sound. Obi-Wan laughs. Bright and bold, a full and sincere sound that splits his smile and shakes his shoulders. It's so disarming, so honest. Anakin needs to take a step back, a strange chuckle echoing in his own throat like the man's amusement is a contagious compulsion. I like you, Anakin. There's something in the man's words, his voice dropping low, that undefinable accent wrapping around his bones the way it wraps around his name. Something charming and challenging, deceitful and sincere in equal measure.
something that sends a strange thrill down his spine, the fine hairs on the back of his neck stand on end. Something that makes Anakin forget the clock on the wall. Time feels like a figment in the back of Anakin's mind as they laugh and joke their way through bad costume after bad costume. Pirate, pimp, punk rocker. An odd ease falls between them, like they've known each other all their lives. Snipping and sparring and so fucking familiar, Anakin thinks it should scare him. It takes longer than it should to realize Obi-Wan is flirting with him. At first, he just dismissed it as a European thing. The sidelong glances, the casual touches, the grinning innuendo. But when the man pulls out a barely there cowboy costume and suggests that Anakin would look stunning in something so skimpy, his lustful intention becomes crystal clear. He's not the first man to make a misguided move on Anakin. He is the first to make Anakin blush. "Yeah, I have the perfect costume for you," Anakin mumbles, his voice coming out small and strangled as heat flares across his cheeks, a strange static storm sparking to life in his gut when their eyes connect like tunnel vision. "The devil?" "I'm only teasing, Anakin," Obi-Wan chuckles warmly, returning the risque outfit to the rack with a dramatic wink. "I'm not," Anakin scoffs. "All you need is a pair of horns and you'd be Satan himself." Bright silver eyes crinkle with amusement, lips curling at the corners. And Anakin isn't certain when they drifted so close. "If only I had an angel." The air between them feels charged and breathless, buzzing with energy and static, gasping in anticipation of a gathering storm. Thunder in his ears, lightning in his blood. And when Obi-Wan's tongue darts out to wet his lower lip before digging his teeth into the soft swell, something in Anakin's mind clicks. Vampire! He's not even sure where it comes from, or why he didn't think of it earlier, but it seems almost absurdly obvious now. Turning on his heel in search of the perfect costume, holding up the plastic package for Obi-Wan to inspect.
Doesn't get much more classic than a vampire, right?
For several silent beats, Obi-Wan's eyes don't move from Anakin's face, his silver stare narrowing and impossible to read. Studying the younger man's expression like an artist trying to sketch the slope of his nose into memory. Finally, his eyes fall to the costume still clutched in Anakin's hands, reaching out to take it in his own, a sly smile curling the corner of his lips. It's perfect. With Obi-Wan hidden away behind the flimsy curtain of their makeshift dressing room, Anakin paces, puzzling over why he hadn't just ushered the man out the door to change in his undoubtedly expensive car. Wondering why his heart is beating so hard he can't hear the steady 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 of the clock on the wall, trying to figure out what the actual fuck is going on with him. But before he can spiral too far into full-on panic, Anakin hears Obi-Wan clear his throat. "How do I look?" Anakin's first reaction is to laugh, not a tease or a taunt, but something tense and strangled in the back of his throat. The costume should look ridiculous. The red velvet cloak, the brocade vest, the ridiculously high collar and wide cuffs. It should look cheap and ill-fit. It should look like the $59.99 piece of plastic crap it is. Somehow, Obi-Wan makes it look like $501. He looks perfect. Like he just stepped out of some old horror film. All high contrast and exaggerated angles, each frame painstakingly colorized crimson, and Anakin can't stop himself from taking in the reflection of folk tales before him. There's a strange racing in Anakin's chest as his eyes trail up the man's body, noting the way he holds himself relaxed and confident at the same time, leaning casually on a prop cane whose plastic handle appears pewter beneath his palm. The costume looks just as impeccably tailored as the suit had, pinned in at the waist and wide at the shoulders, cutting a shape that's slim but strong. And when Anakin's gaze finally meets the man's face,
wait,
something is off. Wrong. It takes only a moment to realize what it is.
Your eyes!
Where once had shined a sterling silver, now glows a gilded gold.
For a moment, Anakin tries to convince himself he's misremembered, that the man's eyes had always shone like the blazing ring of a solar eclipse and not the soft gleam of the moon. But somewhere in the pit of his stomach, he knows something is wrong. A small, desperate voice far away and faint in the back of his mind screaming, "Stranger!" As Anakin tries to come up with any reasonable explanation, his rushing thoughts screeching to a halt when that heavy, heated voice breaks through the fog. "The better to see you with, my dear," Anakin blinks. "That was the big bad wolf," he corrects before he can stop himself, the retort falling from his lips without thought or permission, unable to look away when a slanted smile curls the man's lips.
"Not a vampire."
The low chuckle that rumbles through the air hits Anakin, like the shivering swell of a soaring movie score. His shoulders tense, lips parted the second a sharp gasp as the sound crawls down his spine. It takes far too long to name the feeling dancing over his skin, too caught up in the frisson to taste the fear on his tongue, until Obi-Wan's smirk splits in a wide, wolfish grin, every single tooth on display. "In my defense," Obi-Wan hums, tilting his head back and letting his mouth fall open to run his tongue along suddenly sharpened teeth, "we both have fangs." All his life, Anakin has been quick to challenge danger, choosing fight over flight every single time, no matter how big and bad the threat facing him. This time is different. This time, Anakin runs. This time, Anakin abandons his rational mind with his courage, turns on his heels and sprints towards the door, already searching for the keys in his pocket, his vision narrow and heart racing, every cell focused on escape. By some miracle, he finds the right key before he reaches the door, stopping just short of full-on collision with the thick glass panes, his hand shaking so badly that each attempt to slot it into the lock is worse than the one before it, muttering, "Please, please, please," under his breath and desperately telling himself to keep his eyes forward. Anakin looks back. Obi-Wan is nowhere to be found. Terrified eyes quickly scan the store and his hands continue to fumble absently with the lock, not sure if he's hoping to spot the man or never see him again. "Need help?" Anakin's head whips around to find Obi-Wan leaning against the door frame, propped up on his forearm, ankles crossed casually, the fingers of his free hand still curled around the handle of his costume cane. He looks refined and feral at the same time, like some handsome Hollywood leading man who's promised his soul to Satan. Different. And exactly the same. His fangs are still white. His eyes are still gold. Keys clatter to the tile floor as Anakin jumps away, desperate to put distance between himself and the demon still smiling at him, stumbling blindly backward, his eyes fixed on that sharp golden gaze. There's a scream to Anakin's left, his head wrenching around on sheer instinct, cursing himself and the animatronic that has him leaping out of his skin when he looks back to find the man missing. No, not a man. Quickly, Anakin scrambles away from the display of large lawn decorations, only tripping one more screaming ghoul's motion sensor before scurrying behind a tall stand of tacky comic book costumes, frantically failing to quiet his gasping breaths as the fluorescent overheads go dark, the only light now coming from the still screaming animatronics. The world feels like it's spinning, Anakin's mind racing a million miles a minute as he peers through the racks, searching for any sign of the stranger stalking him, his eyes barely able to focus, his vision vibrating with every terrible thought of his heart. The keys still lay on the floor by the front door, but the idea of being out in the open like that, metal jingling in his hands as he once again tries and fails to unlock the door, makes his stomach turn, and for a brief moment, Anakin considers how much force it would take to jump through the glass. Or maybe he could break it, throw a fog machine through the window, and make a run for it. Then what? Even if he could swipe his keys on the way out, he's parked in the back of an empty lot with nowhere to hide and absolutely no way to defend himself against. For the first time since he saw those golden eyes, Anakin has a moment to think. Thoughts of colored contacts and false fangs flash through Anakin's mind, but there's no denying what he'd seen, what he'd felt, what he already knows to be true. Anakin is being hunted. Anakin is being hunted by a vampire. What the fuck? He needs a plan.
He needs a weapon. He needs Anakin. His mind is busy running through everything he's ever learned about the blood-sucking undead when that silky voice cuts through the air, sounding from across the store and directly behind him at the same time, his name drawn out like a song, the haunting harmony bouncing off the walls like an echo. I thought we were having fun, were we not? It makes him feel a bit sick that, yes, he had actually been enjoying the man's company until that sparkling smile had turned sharp and Anakin's blood ran cold. Now all he can think about is whether or not the wooden stakes in the Vampire Slayer costume are actually made of wood, or if they're plastic like every other weapon in this place. Plastic and foam and rubber and useless. There's nothing. Nothing sharp enough to cut off the monster's head or drive through his heart. No fire to burn him. No garlic to repel him. No coffin to trap him in. Not even the mirrors are real. Nothing but a cross-shaped riding crop and empty flasks for holy water. Maybe he can make it to the back and through the employees-only door without calling the man's attention. Maybe he can sneak through the break room and out into the alley and... I'd rather hoped you wouldn't run from me, Anakin. The eerie echo of Obi-Wan's voice is everywhere. By the door. By the masks. To his left. To his right. Inside his head. I had hoped you wouldn't be afraid. That almost makes Anakin laugh, the strange stirring in his chest reminding him he needs to move, crouching low and creeping from one rack to the next, wishing he'd pulled a hoodie on over his stupid neon orange employee t-shirt, as he uses every shadow to his advantage, his head on a swivel, looking to lay his eyes on the predator lurking in the dark. It's bad for the blood, you know, Fear. Obi-Wan continues casually as Anakin weaves his way through the displays as quietly as he can, his ears straining for the faint repeating 1, 2, 3 near the front door, the sharp clack of a cane followed by 2 soft footfalls. Some enjoy the taste of a mortal's terror on their tongue. I've always found it sour. That blood could ever taste anything more than metallic had never once occurred to Anakin. Every split lip has always just tasted like pennies, but now it's impossible not to wonder what might make his blood taste best. Joy? Excitement? Love? With a stiff shake of his head, Anakin pushes forward, reaching the wall of masks at the back of the store, his eyes scanning over the racks of phony weaponry in the corner, quickly dismissing every sword and axe and staff until his eyes land on an aluminum baseball bat. It's splattered in red paint to mimic blood, and the metal is thinner than a real aluminum bat, but when the alternatives are plastic and foam, the choice is pretty fucking obvious. Bat in hand, Anakin feels like he can breathe for the first time since the lights went out. The brief relief is frustratingly fleeting. You can't hide from me, Anakin, Obi-Wan hums, steady and sure as Anakin creeps along the back wall, that glowing exit sign in the far corner calling to him like a lighthouse in a terrible tempest, trying to concentrate on anything but the otherworldly accent in his ears. I can hear you breathing. I can feel the heat of your body. I can practically taste your heartbeat. With each word, Anakin's steps grow more urgent, diligence and careful consideration rapidly giving way to panic as the man proceeds to count out the rapid rhythm of his heart like the rushed time signature of a whirring waltz clapping along with the beat. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. The counting comes to a stop the moment Anakin reaches the door and his heart stops entirely as his eyes land on the mangled and twisted handle, and all at once it becomes clear that he never really had a chance in the first place. This isn't bad luck. The wrong place at the wrong time. This was never random. You smell delectable from miles away, darling. It's a trap. It has been from the very start. And Anakin invited him in. Frigid fingertips tickle the tip of Anakin's spine, and all at once every alarm in his body begins to scream out, wailing and warning as he spins on his heel, knuckles pale, where he grips the bat tight in both hands, swinging as hard as he can, blinded by darkness and desperation, hoping beyond all reason that he can deal a devastating blow and this nightmare can end. But when his frantic strike stops short, halted mid-swing by the man now staring into his eyes, Anakin has never felt so powerless. "And here I thought you'd be sweet." The low hum of Obi-Wan's voice is almost hypnotic, his expression flickering between a smirk and a sneer. "No matter," he murmurs, his tone almost impossibly calm, the muscles in his hand barely straining as he crushes the last bits of Anakin's foolish hope, the way he crushes the club in his grasp, the metal groaning beneath his fingers as it crumples like tin foil and faith. "I do enjoy a little spice." All Anakin's life he's been called difficult. It only makes sense he'd be difficult in death. Whether it's fear, instinct, or the daring defiance that kerns and thrashes deep inside him, Anakin finds just enough fire to fight. There is no plan in place as he ducks under the beast's arm and runs for the front door, thoughts of fumbled keys and broken glass barely registering as he tears down shelves and displays, half-heartedly hoping to slow the bloodthirsty stalker in pursuit, racks of costumes and plastic skeletons crashing to the ground in his wake as Anakin begs every god he's never believed in to let him live. There is no divine intervention. The doors don't miraculously swing open at the last moment. No supernatural sunrise creeping over the horizon despite morning still being hours and hours away. Of course not. This is a trap. In the blink of an eye, Obi-Wan is there, standing between Anakin and any hope of escape as he nearly crashes into the arms of his doom, golden eyes looking more amused than murderous even as a large hand closes around Anakin's neck. "I think we've had quite enough of that, don't you?" Struggling is useless, but it doesn't stop Anakin from clawing at the cheap buttons on his costume vest and gripping Obi-Wan's wrist as his feet lift off the ground. Every kick, every twist, every strangled shout makes it harder to breathe, gasping for air and grasping for anything certain and stable until he's clinging to Obi-Wan like life itself, and before he can abandon his will entirely, the hand around his throat loosens. "Hush, angel," Obi-Wan coos, the soft swirl of his thumbprint petting affectionately over his prey's racing pulse, Anakin's focus flitting back and forth between eyes that glow warm like molten metal, leaning in so close their noses brush. "Remember what I told you about fear?"
"Sour,"
Anakin stutters, the single word falling from his lips before he even needs to consider the question, the terrified shaking in his bones softening to a shiver when a sharp smile spreads across the man's face. "Very good," Obi-Wan purrs, his words like a soft summer breeze, pebbling his skin as warmth floods his chest. "Such a smart boy." Anakin's breath hitches at the praise, his cheeks hot beneath the ice of Obi-Wan's palms, when his large hands lift to frame the younger man's face with something like fiery affection burning his eyes. "Now, take a deep breath for me," Anakin does as he's told. "Good, another. Deeper this time." With each breath, he feels a little closer to Earth, the fog of fear fading from his mind, and soon Anakin realizes he's sitting on the checkout counter, his feet still hovering above the ground as a monster smiles from between his spread legs. "Now isn't that better?" Obi-Wan hums, brushing the pad of his thumb over the sharp ridge of Anakin's heated cheek, and he can't help the way he melts a bit under the man's intense attention. "So very good for me, darling." There's a strange part of Anakin that wants that. To give in. To give up. Another part of him.
"Please don't kill me."
"What makes you think I'm going to kill you?" It seems like an insane question with a long list of obvious answers, but when Anakin lifts his head and opens his mouth to reply, nothing comes out. Breathe, sweet thing, the vampire reminds him, his voice low and smile soft, the words laced with an intoxicating cocktail of threat and truth. For a moment he looks like the man who'd sent Anakin's heart racing when he'd knocked on the door. Then he grins and presses forward, speaking softly into his ear. I'm only going to sink my teeth into your neck and feed on your blood until I'm satisfied, he admits. But I do have some self-control. A wide, wild smile is clear in his teasing tone. Pressing his nose into the crook of Anakin's neck and breathing in deep, the coarse copper hair along his jaw scratching against sensitive skin and sending a savage shiver down Anakin's spine. I won't let you die.
Why?
Even as he speaks the word aloud, Anakin isn't sure what question he's asking. Why are you doing this? Why did you choose me? Why would you let me live? Obi-Wan manages to answer every single one of them. Because I want to. The words are exhaled against the frantic 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 of Anakin's galloping pulse, as demanding fingers twist in the curls at the base of his skull and tug, tilting his head back to expose his throat to the creature who means to consume him.
Does it hurt?
Does it matter? It doesn't. Not really. Not when Obi-Wan has him pulled in close, one hand in his hair, the other on his hip, inhaling the scent of him like he's something to be savored, and Anakin can do nothing but pray he lives to see the sunrise.
Do it, he insists, squeezing his eyes shut and gritting his teeth, his head tilted back in surrender, fingers digging into the monster's shoulders as he braces for agony and betrayal. Just do it.
Obi-Wan laughs, a low, dark chuckle rumbling in his chest as he whispers, "Not yet." Where Anakin expects the sharp sting of fangs, Obi-Wan's mouth is soft and adoring on his skin, warmth blossoming beneath his tender kiss despite the chill of his lifeless lips. I don't like to be rushed. Every muscle and tendon in Anakin's body is drawn up tight with trembling tension, jaw clenched, hands balled in fists, eyes squeezed shut. But as the killer's clever kiss presses into his skin again and again, something strange inside him eases. It starts soft, soothing, chaste, tracing his lips along the line of Anakin's jaw, kissing down his neck, nosing at the collar of his orange employee t-shirt. But when Obi-Wan licks a long stripe up his throat, Anakin can't stop the groan that escapes his lips, clinging to strong shoulders and letting his head fall back, losing himself in a thick haze both entirely foreign and somehow achingly familiar as greedy lips leave a deep mark on his skin. It should feel wrong, Anakin thinks. It should bother him. The scratch of beard against his throat, the muscled body between his legs, the short hair he can't help but thread between his fingers, it shouldn't feel like this with... No. Not a man. There is no warning before fangs sink into Anakin's neck. It's agony, but only for a moment, his harrowing cry choked off in a broken whimper when Obi-Wan moans openly into his skin, his body shivering in Anakin's arms as he pulls his victim impossibly closer. Somewhere between thrill and terror, Anakin feels powerless in the Predator's embrace. Paralyzed with dread and the desire that floods his blood so quickly he chokes on it, clinging foolishly to his own demise as wave after wave of hunger and hysteria crashes over him, and when the beast pulls back, Anakin thinks he might sob. I knew you to be divine, Obi-Wan pants harshly, lapping at the wound like he wouldn't dare sacrifice a single drop of Anakin, groaning at the taste as greedy hands tighten at Anakin's waist. But I had no idea. His voice is rough and almost reverent, the words coming out broken and breathless between hungry swipes of his tongue. Angel, you taste like... Obi-Wan seems to lose his words then. Somehow, Anakin finds his.
Like what?
This time, when Obi-Wan plunges his teeth into his flesh, Anakin almost welcomes the fleeting agony.
his fingers twisting in the cheap velvet of that stupid vampire costume, and doing nothing to stifle the moan that escapes his mouth when he feels those fangs sink even deeper.
"Tell me,"
Anakin demands, tugging at copper hair with one hand and pulling his doom closer with the other, lost somewhere between hungry and horrified, every thought consumed by a single question.
"What do I taste like?"
Several beats pass before Obi-Wan answers, humming in frustrated consideration as he presses hot, wet kisses to Anakin's pulse again and again, like the words are dancing on the tip of his eager tongue, and one more mouthful will unlock the mystery. "You taste like something I can't recall," Obi-Wan murmurs, the words as honest as they are absurd. "Something between memory and a dream." He sounds muddled and mystified, mumbling nonsense and moaning shamelessly into Anakin's abused skin. Every sinful kiss, every suck and scrape of sharpened teeth send shocks of lightning skittering down Anakin's spine, prickling his skin and curling his toes, helpless to deny the growing evidence of his own desire when Obi-Wan licks over his pulse and nips at his jaw, his hips hitching forward, searching for friction. "Your pleasure must be heavenly," the creature whispers wistfully, rolling their hips together and pressing his wicked grin to the sensitive hollow at the hinge of Anakin's jaw when a needy whine falls unbidden from parted lips. "Would you let me taste it?" Anakin is nodding before he really understands the words, but when the stranger slides a hand between their bodies to cup his hard length over the thick fabric of his jeans, all he can do is nod harder. "Would you let me drink from you as you gasp and moan?"
"Yes."
It comes out more like a choked sob than an actual word, but it's all the permission Obi-Wan needs, ripping that hideous orange shirt over his head before working open tight jeans with clever fingers, tugging the stiff fabric down strong thighs along with his briefs, leaving Anakin exposed and eager in a way he's never known, completely at the mercy of a murderous monster determined to drink his desire, and all Anakin wants is to feel him. Gone is the chill from lifeless fingers as they wrap around Anakin's naked need, Obi-Wan sighing into his ear with smug satisfaction at the strangled sound he earns himself, stroking lazily and spearing pearly pleasure down the hard length in his hand as he drops his head to suck on Anakin's collarbone, drawing back just long enough to spit saliva and scarlet into his palm. The demon's touch is slow and indulgent. Anakin's head lulled back and hips rocking greedily into Obi-Wan's teasing grip, his body begging for more, 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 his taunting teeth nip down the column of his throat, and this time, when pain pierces his skin, the bite more covetous than cruel, Anakin can only embrace the freshly familiar feeling of fangs and the beast between his legs. Twin moans tangle together in a dark and dissonant harmony, vibrating in the air around them and the marrow in his bones, predator and prey locked in a deadly dance of give and take that feels more like fate with every drop of life Obi-Wan drains from Anakin's flesh. It's agony. It's ecstasy. Too much and not enough. Out of his mind and more in the moment than he's ever felt, and when fangs withdraw from his frantic pulse, Anakin thinks loss hurts more than the lacerations.
"Fuck, Angel."
The words come out like a gritted growl, rough and raw in the back of his throat, barely contained. Barbaric. Anakin thinks that might just be Obi-Wan.
"How do you taste so good?"
Heat burns over Anakin's skin at the panted praise, reddening his cheeks and creeping down his chest to pool in his gut, his fingers tightening in the soft short hair at the back of his captor's head, his reply only coming out as a needy whine when the grip around his cock tightens, Obi-Wan's clever tongue lapping at his skipping pulse between mumbled musings.
"You taste like something vital, ancient, something sacred."
He almost sounds drunk, deranged, delirious. Smearing his words into sensitive skin with scarlet-stained lips, every slurred syllable dripping in wild want, and Anakin has never felt more cherished, chosen.
"You taste like something I never meant to forget." "Show me."
There's no biting back the words, the dangerous demand tumbling from his lips without thought for anything but the throbbing thirst in the back of his throat, and when thick fingers twist in his hair, pulling him back to meet his doom face to face, Anakin can't bring himself to regret a single thing. Mouth open, panting heavily, blood and spit staining his beard, Obi-Wan looks wrecked and ravenous, his gilded gaze gone black as a starless sky, a small smile curling his lips, sharp and savage, like he wants nothing more than to sink back into Anakin any way he can. He's never looked less like a man. He's never looked more stunning. "You want me to show you?" Obi-Wan asks, his voice a low rumble like distant thunder, his dark stare dropping to Anakin's open mouth, his tongue darting out to taste the life still staining his lips. It sounds like an offer. It sounds like a warning. A whispered whim from the devil's own lips, and when their eyes meet again, Anakin finds himself staring into twin black holes, the event horizon a blazing ring of gold, and he knows nothing will stop him from falling into him. "Please." With one word, everything shatters. Reason, reality, restraint. All sense of time and place and self swept away as death fills the space, the single pleading syllable left behind, the demon's desperation slipping past his lips to tangle with his tongue in the moment Anakin tastes his own mortality on Obi-Wan's teeth. He understands what it is to truly be alive. This is how it would feel to kiss a hurricane. Violent and voracious, taking, taking, taking until there's nothing left, and as electricity skitters over his skin, lightning and ozone on his tongue, Anakin can only drown in the feeling, every rational inclination obliterated in favor of chasing the impossible high of a killer's all-consuming kiss. It's painful. The crashing clack of teeth against teeth, the sharp tug of fingers and tangled curls, the greedy grip around his cock, the horrible wrenching realization that he's ruined for anything that isn't this. Every claiming kiss, every torturous stroke, every needy noise they pass back and forth like saliva and the tarnished taste of Anakin's own blood on their tongues sings through his veins like venom, and all Anakin wants is everything. It's more like a struggle than an embrace, a violent clash of survival and starvation, pushing and pulling at each other in a wicked whirlwind of fear and want, and when Anakin sinks his teeth into Obi-Wan's lip, there's not a single drop of humanity left, every fiber of his being screaming for rust and revenge. Anakin swallows the gasp Obi-Wan pours into his mouth before the monster pulls away, his eyes wide and wild, his hand slipping from Anakin's curls to touch the split in his lip, and as he examines the dark substance coating the swirls of his fingerprints, Anakin thinks perhaps he's just sealed his fatal fate. Then the devil smiles. "You are a hungry thing." Scarlet-stained fingers trace the curve of Anakin's lips, and all he can do is let his mouth fall open. Obi-Wan tastes like death. Like life. Like a night so dark you can see every star in the sky. He tastes like promise and prophecy, and when Obi-Wan's crushing kiss replaces the heavy press of fingers on his tongue, Anakin makes no effort to swallow the sounds that pour from his soul into the immortal's mouth. It feels like Obi-Wan is everywhere, his greedy hands gripping Anakin's hips, twisting in his hair, pulling him closer and closer to release with every torturous stroke, as his voice echoes through the cavern of his open mouth and down into the marrow of his bones. His heart is racing, beating out of his chest and out of time, and the wild 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 pounding in his ears, only making him wonder what it tastes like when a vampire's victim craves the bite as much as the monster. "Bite me." The growl that rips from Obi-Wan's chest is feral and frightening, sending a single shock of sour fear through his system before sharp fangs sink into his skin and everything goes white. pleasure and pain coil around Anakin like a serpent, squeezing him tight, strangling his screams, suffocating sanity and satisfaction as bolts of electric bliss pulse through his bones and set his blood aflame. Shivering and panting, rapture paints his stomach pearly pink where it meets the long tracks of crimson streaking his chest and staining his skin. Ecstasy mixing with eager annihilation as Obi-Wan traces his fingers through the mess. It's a sick sort of surrender. A sinful submission. Maybe he should feel helpless, weak in the presence of such strength and power. But as this creature of lore and myth whimpers brokenly into his scarred skin, shaking with a need and desperate desire as he worships him with tongue and teeth, drinking in everything he has to give, Anakin feels more like a god. Every tender touch a show of faith, every moan a prayer. And when Obi-Wan gasps, it sounds like a psalm. Sunshine! Heat burns across Anakin's skin like Obi-Wan has summoned the sun itself with a single word. That's what it is. Opening eyes he doesn't remember closing, Anakin finds himself staring into shimmering silver, bright and bold like the glow of a full moon, pulling at Anakin's heart like the tug of the tides when he realizes the meaning of the man's words. Something he can't recall. Something between a memory and a dream. You taste like sunshine. How long has it been since he's felt the warmth of Earth's star on his skin? How long has he been hiding in the shadows? Obi-Wan kisses him like it's been centuries. It's soft and savage at the same time, reverent and ravenous, tracing Anakin's teeth with his tongue, mapping the inside of the mortal's mouth, branding the taste into his memory like he wants nothing more than to burn with it, or burn together. Obi-Wan feels like a different beast now, rough hands gentle on Anakin's naked skin, pulling him close despite the mess between them, caressing his face and kissing him like he can erase lifetimes of loneliness by losing himself in the pink swell of parted lips, and Anakin hopes no one ever finds them. Somewhere in the back of Anakin's mind, he knows he lived a life before this moment, a life he'd worked hard for, a life he'd wanted to protect. But now, as Obi-Wan pulls back, the mere inches between them more like miles, clawing weakly at strong shoulders and cheap velvet, Anakin knows he'd rather die than go back. Thick fingers circle his wrist before the panic can settle in his veins, the man's touch like a salve for Anakin's soul, and as he watches, Obi-Wan turns his head to press a soft kiss to the palm of his hand. The last of his uncertainty shatters. Blood-stained lips trace the deep lines on Anakin's palm, the one his mother once told him meant he'd live a long life. Following the trail down to his wrist and nuzzling into them, reddening the sensitive skin with his beard before trailing his tongue over the thrumming pulse beneath, and when wild eyes flick up to meet his own, a swirling storm of gold and silver, Anakin is certain they can both feel his heart skip. It feels more like a kiss now when Obi-Wan sinks into him, those mesmerizing eyes fluttering shut for only a moment, moaning at the taste of sunshine on his tongue, and all Anakin can do is watch. It was one thing to hear the way Obi-Wan moaned and panted as he drank his fill. It's quite another to see it. The way blood pools in the corners of his mouth, the way his throat bobs every time he swallows, the way he can barely keep his eyes open. It feels like Anakin is the one possessing a demon. When his lashes grow heavy and his thoughts begin to blur, Anakin rests his head heavily on Obi-Wan's shoulder, burying his nose into the monster's neck, feeling the way the muscles tense and relax beneath the soft brush of his shallow breaths, wondering what it would be like to sink into his skin. He tries to hold on to his heartbeat, to count every thrilled thud, but he keeps losing the cadence. Or maybe it keeps changing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Every beat is harder to hear than the one before it, counting down to death or destiny, the disorienting drum drowned out in the blaring turge of desire. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2. There's a chill in the air like standing in the shade, a bright cloud casting them in darkness, the moon blocking out the sun. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. When it feels like the shadow means to swallow him whole, electricity coats his tongue, lightning laced with the venom and vitality, and Anakin easily opens to accept it. It tastes like death. It tastes like life. It tastes like metal and every star in the Milky Way. And when Obi-Wan whispers a soft promise against his lips, vowing, "You are safe, my angel," Anakin thinks it might taste like love. "I would never let you die." The end.